This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. I was in Detroit the past couple of days doing some stuff that we're going to get on the air in the next week or two. One of those things was a conversation with author David Marinus. He's got a new book out about Detroit. It's set in the 1960s, the 18 months or so from late 1962 to the spring of 64, when the city seemed like it had never been stronger. Ford and GM and Chrysler were selling cars to beat the band. Motown was becoming nationally known, and Detroit was a center of the civil rights movement. Yet, at the same time, the city had already started falling apart. David Marinus was born in Detroit. He lived there till he was 6 and a half. So when we set up the interview, we thought we would do it in front of the house that he lived in when he was a kid, right at the corner of Claremont and Dexter. Except the house isn't there anymore. The same thing that's happening in much of that city.
And it was big enough that it probably looked a lot like that brick one there. It might have been right here where the rubble is. And my brother and my big brother and sister and I would sit on the porch, and they would quiz me on the 1955 new model cars as they drove by. You know, that was the thing to do. The Nash Metropolitan, DeSoto's, all these cars that are long gone.
You say in this book a couple of times that Detroit has this hold on you, as it has for a lot of people, right? What took you so long to write this?
Well, I have to become obsessed with something to write a book about it and devote 3 years of my life to it. And it was bubbling up inside me, probably, and then it was the right time. It just felt right. I was in New York City watching the 2011 Super Bowl on TV, at halftime, this incredible commercial came on with Eminem driving through the streets of Detroit. And of course, it was just trying to sell Chryslers, but it sold me on something different. It struck, I mean, I teared up watching it. My wife said, you know, you sucker, what are you falling for that for? But it made me start to think about why Detroit. Of course, it meant something personal to me, but I think it's such an American story. And I wanted to remind people, along with the shadows of the Troubles, what Detroit gave America.
It's a character-driven book, this is. You've got the mayor, Kavanaugh is his name.
Jerome Kavanaugh.
Walter Reuther.
Reuther.
Reuther, sorry, of the United Auto Workers. John Kennedy is in this book. Berry Gordy from Motown. I wonder how much of what we think of Detroit today is because of those people.
Well, it depends on what people think of Detroit, you know. If they think of the Detroit of ruins, I don't think so. But if they think of what Detroit gave America in terms of music and cars and civil rights and labor, yes, those are the people. Walter Reuther, who led the United Auto Workers, I think is one of the most important figures of the 20th century who has been neglected to some degree. What he did in terms of bringing up the working middle class. You can't underestimate Berry Gordy and what Motown means to the soundtrack of this country. And then you have Henry Ford II, the Deuce, who was leading Ford Motor Company during that period, and he and Lee Iacocca helping create the Mustang. So I think that all of those things are what people can remember about Detroit. Whether that's what they think of first now is another question.
There is so much that happens in this book, in this time frame of 62 to 64. Martin Luther King and the first version of I Have a Dream and the March for Freedom and the Olympics bid. There's so much that I mean, and I read a lot of history. There's so much that I didn't know. What surprised you?
Well, I didn't know much of it. I didn't know that King gave his I Have a Dream speech here first. I didn't know that Detroit was so close to getting the Olympics. And, you know, that's counterfactual history. But imagine if the Olympics were held in Detroit in 1968. You know, the year of Black Power, of Tommy Smith and John Carlos in Mexico City. The year after the riots in Detroit, would things have changed? Would the power structure in Detroit had been so attuned to the city that the riots might not have happened or have been dealt with in a different way? We don't know, but it's one of those great counterfactual questions.
When you drive through Detroit today, as you have, I can't imagine how many times in the past couple of years as you were working on this book, what do you think of?
Well, I think two things. One, it's a city of beautiful architecture. It's a city that's depopulated. I wrote in the book a slight exaggeration that I thought at times I could stand in the middle of Woodward Avenue reading War and Peace and not get hit by a car. Since over the course of the 3 years that I've been here, it's become a little more energized every visit back. I tell people it's a great place for if you're 22 to 35 years old to come and reinvent yourself. That same creativity in a different way that was played out in Motown 50 years ago can be played out in music and arts and food and so many in tech today by young people. But there's another thing, and like we're standing here where a house that I was born in or came to when I was born no longer stands. And there are vast swaths of Detroit that were single-family homes for the working class, black and white. And so much of that is gone. The jobs are gone. The people are gone. And until Detroit can bring that back, it can't be a full renaissance.
David Marinus, it's a book called Once in a Great City, A Detroit Story. David, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kai.
We've got a chapter of David Marinus's new book on our website. It is, once again, called Detroit, Once in a Great City. Also, the Chrysler ad that got him started on the book in the first place. It's all at marketplace.org.